I already got her laughing. We haven't even started yet. Hi, guys. Welcome to Say Something Interesting, the follow-up podcast from Eastlake Tri-Cities Church. I counted down backwards in Spanish, and it totally
like
threw
her
off. Yeah, like a total weirdo. My name's Brent. I'm the teaching pastor at Eastlake. My friend Megan's with me as well.
Hello, everyone.
It is a day off for Megan. It's trimester day, something like that.
Tomorrow we start the last third of the school year.
And yet she came in anyways and filmed. Mm-hmm. Recorded, whatever you want to call it. Brilliant by whoever did the school calendar to make the Monday of time change weekend the day that you guys don't have to go
true.
Back to school.
Although, except for that means the first week of the trimester, we're all still adjusting to new time change.
Yeah, but that's okay. My youngest slept in past 8 o'clock today.
Wow.
Past the point when he would normally get on his bus and go to school.
Yeah.
He slept past that point. So that
tomorrow's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun tomorrow, but at least we have a day to figure it out.
Yeah.
Kylie also decided to change the clocks at noon on Saturday instead of in the evening.
Did that help?
Well, the kids didn't know. Oh. We didn't tell the kids. They just look over and they're like, we're not even tired and it's 8:30. We're like, yeah, isn't that crazy bedtime? And that's a pro tip for everybody that's out there. That was a big win. I can't believe it took us until our fourth kid is six to figure that out.
It took you 16 years.
I feel like if I would have read that in a parenting book, what to expect when you're expecting a long time ago, that would have been a lot better.
Change the clocks at noon.
Change them at noon and enjoy your evening. It was pretty great. So, how was your weekend?
It was good.
Yeah,
I went and saw Dune Part Two.
I told you that. It's so good. I
know Brent hasn't seen it yet, so we probably won't talk about it a ton.
No, we can't, and I don't want to spoil it for everybody. But I was supposed to go see it with Pitzer, and then he went out of town for spring training.
Yeah,
and so now they're back. So now it's just a matter of getting it on the calendar before I leave.
Do it
for my trip. So, anyways. It'll be good.
It's a time
I've heard
commitment.
Nothing but good things. 3 and a half hours long.
No, it's like
3:24 is what I heard.
No, it's 2:56.
Oh, really? I'm thinking of a different one then. Okay. 2:56.
2:56.
When you include the trailers
plus
and everything
trailers,
else.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, time your bathroom breaks appropriately.
Yeah. Make sure you go. Like literally when it ended, a bunch of people, mostly men, like rushed.
Hustled.
Yeah.
Gotta go. We were just downstairs in the lobby talking with Eric about just all this and whatever. And he had gone and seen it. And he had said he went into the Sutton Atmos or Dolby or whatever in the big theater.
So did I. Mm-hmm.
But because of his schedule, got to go kind of in the middle of the day. And he said there was only 30 octogenarians.
No. That was when he went and saw Oppenheimer.
Was it?
Yeah, okay.
Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. It's a smaller crowd for that. And he said he was by far the youngest person in the room and felt awful because he had to get up and pee twice as much as anybody else in that room. And, which is kind of a hilarious problem to have.
Funny.
So it's good. Speaking of Oppenheimer, cleaned up at the Oscars last night.
Ooh, I didn't watch them at all.
They were Jimmy Kimmel hosted. Mm-hmm. Did pretty decent. I don't know. I feel like it's all like
the same
pretty
now.
Fangless now. Yeah, you know, like they've been like, okay, we can't push too many buttons in walls. Yeah. We get too many push. Mm-hmm. So it's all just like PG rated jokes and stuff. But that's fine. That's fine. He did a big performance of I'm Not Ken or what's the what's the big song?
Yeah,
I'm Ken Enough.
Yeah,
whatever.
I know.
It is.
I don't remember. I haven't watched
the movie yet. I know. I know. I'm so behind.
You know what? That
Four kids.
That,
Four
that
kids.
Makes up
My
because I haven't seen Oppenheimer. So between the two of us, we've seen the two biggest movies of the year.
Okay.
Of 2023.
Homework. So. You watch Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
I
and
watch
you
Barbie.
Watch Barbie. Got
and
it.
Then we'll just get it all done with. And I'll have to say, this is work related. So
I have to.
I have to do this now. Yeah, no kidding. Jeez, oh, Pete. Yeah, good. You enjoyed a little bit of a sleep-in day?
Yes, I did today.
Okay. That's good. Mm-hmm. I like it. How do you do with time change stuff? Are you in general?
Normally, I'm okay until like the evening. And then I look up and it's like six and I'm like, what?
Yeah. You know what sucks is on
that's
this one.
That's really the
I feel like I've been earning the fact that like mornings are getting brighter.
Yeah. And now it's going to be dark.
And then you just like
it.
Pushed it back a whole hour. And I'm like, it's kind of like I've been successful in doing stuff and like trying to get my day started before the daylight comes. And then all of a sudden now I'm like back to like it's pitch black when I get up. So
I know I honestly am a big like fan of the idea of Washington State just staying on standard time because we don't need daylight savings because we're far enough north that that means it's light until 11 o'clock in the middle of the summer.
Yeah,
like we don't need that. And I would like light in the morning more often. That'd be great. Let's stay there.
How do you feel about it being light in like June, like mid-June, when light is at its longest and it's light till like 9:30? Are you good with that?
Yeah.
I'm so good with that.
Yeah.
Kylie said, I hate that. And I said, who are you? Like,
I mean, I definitely don't get as much sleep. For sure.
Yeah.
But your vitamin
D levels are through the roof.
But I love summer. I mean, I think partly because that's when my birthday is, but also like, I'm a teacher.
Clearly we talked about it's January.
Yeah. Also, I'm a teacher and like, so, and I've also worked in education for like most of my adult life. And so like summer's just way more chill and I love summer.
Yeah.
But
I can't blame you there. Summer's still my favorite. I'm
not
even a
teacher. The long days. So
yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Bring it on. Good. Good. I'm trying to think. I'm going to my first lacrosse game tonight.
Ooh.
Which
is London's boyfriend's
on the lacrosse team. I went to not a real game. It was like a co-practice. It was with another team.
Was it at Tijuana?
The game tonight is.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But the first one was at Richland, and it was like nobody's keeping score. There was no scoreboard.
Yeah.
So it was like just chaos.
Well, it's pretty new. Like they just became a club this year.
Sure.
And like, yeah, it's pretty new. It's still like growing in the Tri-Cities in terms of like having high school sponsorship behind it. They're not even like an actual sport yet. They're still just a club.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's not like an offered sport from our like.
As in, we're not going to buy you uniforms.
Well, I don't know all of that part of it, but like, I think it has to do because there is some like Title IX stuff with like, if they offer another boy sport, they have to offer another girls sport, and so there's some
But there's girls lacrosse teams.
Yeah, but I don't know. Then they'd have to have a girls lacrosse team as well. So I don't know. Like, there's other things that have to do with it, but I don't think they're part of the athletic department, in the sense that they're not like a. Sport. They're like a club.
Okay.
It's like a club sport.
We're not going to give you a fake letter that you're never going to see again in your life.
Yeah. I don't know exactly all of the politics or dynamics of it, but I do know that they're just a club.
Yeah.
But they just became one this year. So it's pretty exciting.
I'm wearing my gear.
I saw that and I was like, what is that? I should have
perfect
known.
Content for a podcast. It's a sweatshirt that
has
a Chihuahua
logo on it.
It's technically the basketball
recognize
team.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the school that you go to. It's just who employs you and pays for life and all that good stuff.
I think my head went Seahawks for some reason because it was like out of school context.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's weird colors. That's genuinely what I thought earlier when I was looking at it.
Yeah.
But now that you're saying it's Tijuana, that makes a lot more sense.
I'm ready to support my squad there. Go cheer for the team. I literally know almost no rules of this. I don't even know what I'll be cheering for. Was that good? Somebody looks hurt. Is that bad? What happens here?
I get to watch them practice because they practice on the field right by the tennis courts, which is like where my portable is.
Yeah.
And so I've like watched them practice the past, I don't know, few weeks as they've gotten started. It's been interesting. I'm like, wow.
Well, it's Chihuahua versus Richland tonight.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's
it's
a good
possible
matchup. I don't know if that's...
That those are like the only teams, but...
That could be it. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. It should be fun, though. What else? Anything else exciting happening in life? I'm trying to think. This weekend was like, I cleaned my turtle tank out, and it was like so gross and nasty.
Poor turtle. What's his name again?
I feel bad. It's Tahoe. It's a girl.
Tahoe, that's right.
You know, just one of those things that's in the garage you never think about. And like,
she's in the garage?
Yeah, she's in the garage. She has
Isn't
a little
it
heater.
Too cold?
No, she has a little heater thing that's in there. But you just forget about it, you know? So she was fine, but she was definitely, once I cleaned the water out, I could tell she was like at the glass, just like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I can see. That's good.
Yeah, poor Tahoe.
Yeah, well, you know, she got let out. She got to kind of crawl around and do her thing.
While you were cleaning it?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did she get played with at all?
Yeah, and we're also hosting my sister's new dog. They got a puppy, and they are on a trip over in Seattle, and so they're like, we're hosting this six-month-old puppy back at our house who is convinced that Genevieve needs to give piggyback rides, and Genevieve is not about it. And then we brought the turtle in, and this dog was like, what is that? What is going on? Just jumping around. It's weird to go from a lethargic
you have a really old dog
who sleeps like 20 hours a day to
and
now
barks
a puppy
the other four.
Who is the other complete
flip-flop
other.
What kind of dog
is
he?
It's a she. Her name's Luna. I would say like a wiener chihuahua mix.
Chiweenie
mix. That's kind of like a little bit longer legs, obviously, than our dog, but still like a nervous wreck, like always constantly shaking. She's cute. She's adorable. I do enjoy having her around, but it has been it's been an exciting. It's not boring at our house.
No,
right
no, it's not.
A lot
not.
Of things
Puppies
going
are
on.
Very exciting.
Yeah, a lot of things. So,
do you think you'll get another dog?
Well, I mean,
when Genevieve finally
you're bringing up a very sensitive topic that is currently a hot one at our house.
Oh, poor Genevieve.
Because absolutely, yeah, I think so. And the question is, do we get one while she's still here?
No. Well, could she handle that?
Well, it's kind of like a little revival of sorts. She kind of feels like I got to like perform a little bit more.
I
want to have the attention thing.
There's a sweet spot with that though, because once they get too old, they're like, leave me the F alone.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I know. She's not there yet. She's definitely like, oh, look what Luna can do. Hey, I'm still here. I'm not chopped liver. Like, pet me once in a while. That kind of thing. And then she'll always like, I'm tired. I'm going to go lay down. So that's kind of where it's at. It's fun. It's
I like
good.
Genevieve. Yeah. She's ridiculous.
She is ridiculous. Let's see. We haven't met for 2 weeks.
It's true.
And we are going to be on a break even next week, too. So it's kind of a bit of a sporadic podcast. Mm-hmm. But we had a great volunteer night at the Tri-City Americans game a couple of Friday nights ago. It was super fun to have a bunch of you out there. And they lost in the last like 5 minutes of the game. But it was up and down battle, and we had I think 56 volunteers
come
out.
Wow, that's really cool.
An incredible number.
Yeah.
And for those of you who prioritized that and made that happen, that was awesome. Thank you for coming out. We will try and get a fun dust. I want to do a dust over.
That would be awesome.
Too. I know. Like under
I would
the
totally
lights.
Come to that.
I know. Yeah. All of a sudden Megan's like, yeah, I volunteer. I'll be a part of that.
I know.
I'm saying that's when you're going to cash it in and be sign me up.
I mean, Americans
I was
are
just
fine,
super busy for the other one, you know? Just
I was not
busy. No.
I just was like,
who's going to clean my house if it's not me? You know what I mean? So, no.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah. Are you excited for baseball season? We're 19 days away, 18 days away.
I know. I've been getting updates on their spring training stuff. And yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. It's,
you know me. I love baseball.
Yeah, it's good.
Something's happening.
Well, we got somebody on our roof. They're currently, we're getting roof quotes because we've had some issues with some leakage next door. So, and I believe they just jumped down.
Yeah.
I think that was the big sound. And it's like 50-50 that they didn't fall through the ceiling at this point. So
we almost had a surprise guest.
Yeah, that would have been a welcome our surprise guest who's just as shocked as you are that he's here. we started a new series on Sunday.
Yes, we did.
Series leading up to Easter, Via Dolorosa. Sandy Patty, are you familiar with the song?
No, I am not.
No, really?
But a woman behind me started humming when you
I bet
said
she did.
It.
So it's funny, like the dynamics of first and second service, because as soon as I said first service, I got like a little rumble laugh, like, ha, 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 yeah, we know this. Second service, ghost town crickets. Nobody had ever heard of Sandy Patty, which was hilarious.
I honestly don't even know that name. Is she like a big, like...
She was a big.
Was a big,
think
like
early
singer?
90s... Christian, not gospel necessarily,
just like,
like Amy Grant,
okay.
That era, was the time.
I'll
that
have
she
to
was,
look it up. I didn't like.
I mean, I don't
I
recommend
do it.
I don't. It doesn't matter to me. I think I always thought growing up. I don't think I realized that it was a semi-modern in terms of not. It wasn't early Christians be like, we're going to walk the footsteps of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like we're talking like 14th century, 1400 years after the fact, people are like, hey, let's create something that humanizes this experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I realized that. And I think it represents.
It does make sense though, because like early Christians knew what that was. Like they didn't need to reimagine it in a human way, right? They could like do that a little bit easier.
And not to mention like... Things didn't go great after Jesus was gone. You had 30 years after in AD 70, you've got people coming in the destruction of the temple and basically Jerusalem's in ruins for a really long time. And Israel as a nation really is almost non-existent. There's no temple sacrifices. There's no nothing. There's nothing to really walk through. It became such a bother, basically historically, for Rome that they said, we're done dealing with you and trying to manage your problems. We're just going to freaking crush everything and walk away from it and walk away like this is a loss. Like we just, wash our hands of all of it.
They're like, no more Jerusalem.
Yeah, no more Jerusalem. Like, so then you're in kind of like a different spot where it's not even safe to like live there and go through that some kind of stuff. So anyways, that's part of it. All that stuff is super interesting. Like that history of how it rose. I just picked up a book by Peter Heather called Christendom, like History of the World from 330 to 300. So probably anticipate a series on Christendom here in the next. That's what I'm telling you. Just a heads up. Yep, like some of this other history post Jesus, I think, is going to be coming up here pretty soon.
That's cool.
That'd be interesting to me. So yeah. But we did talk. I talked a little bit about the Stations of the Cross being sort of a modern reinvention. A lot of it creation to create. Mm-hmm. Your own market for Christian relics and experiences that doesn't just, if you thought maybe it was all touristy, you're right.
Yeah.
And if it feels shady and grotesque and a money grab to some degree, you're right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And if you think that who would ever think, you'd be crazy to think that you can touch a rag that somehow touched the brow and the sweat of Jesus and that would somehow heal you again, you're probably right. You know, I mean, like all of it is kind of a crazy history of it. But I think that what I was trying to illustrate was that the church for a long time has dealt and wrestled with the question of what does the death of Jesus mean for us? Mm-hmm. And I know that there probably like there would be like a pushback from a more conservative background of we know what it is. And I would say to that, we have ideas and we have guesses and we have lots of different options, and you can go down. And there are definitely tons of books to be able to talk about this. But it's definitely, it's not as clear as maybe we'd like to make it sound. And so the whole point was, it's okay to be like, I don't know, but I do think it means something for me.
Yeah.
And I can take communion every week, just like Al took communion on that Sunday, probably not knowing fully exactly what it is that I'm signing up for, but knowing and clinging to the fact that I trust Jesus enough, and I trust this whole thing enough to kind of celebrate it in my own way, and you know, lean into the discussions of the church over the years as they digress and talk about all of that. But it's okay to have a little bit of the loose ends there.
Yeah, like I was thinking, you don't have to understand the full power of the sacrifice of the cross to be able to like benefit from it.
Yep,
or get stuff from that. Like you don't have to have all of the answers yet.
You got here in your vehicle today, not because you understood how motors work, right? But you understood that when I push right on with my right foot down, I go faster. So it's cool. If you want to dive in and figure out how the gear system works and all of that stuff, there are definitely car geeks out there who will, you know, love to explain the gear change ratios and the interchange between unleaded fuel into motion and, you know, all of that.
I like that you use car analogies as often as you do when you know very little about cars.
Because I know very little. I changed my wife's oil this week. I always feel good. Listen, I changed my oil. It's kind of like a point of pride for me. Yeah. I don't even think I'm saving money at this point.
No, you're not. But
I do it because I like to walk into O'Reilly's with like a greasy jacket on and my greasy hands and be like, hey, I need to exchange this oil because I just changed the oil in my car and I need to buy new oil. And they're like, hey, man, you look like you know what you're doing. Do you need any help? Why do I need your help? I don't need your help. Meanwhile, I'm Googling out in the car.
Yeah.
What's the right air filter for my car? Because their Wi-Fi sucks in O'Reilly's in 68. So anyways, there's definitely a sense in which I don't know a lot. But even the little bit that I do know I do feel a closer connection to my car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I get it. Because I used to change the oil in my car all the time. Yeah. Like I was the only one.
Because your dad taught you to do it, right?
Yeah. And we used to do it together.
Yeah.
He would help me. Which really just meant he did it, and I assisted.
Yeah.
But I do know how to do it myself.
I have not trained my kids yet. I haven't gotten them under the car to be like, here's what it looks like, you know.
That was like a thing. My dad.
How old are you?
Well, for me, it was older because I learned how to drive older. But like when you learned
when
how
you
to, part
driving.
Of learning how to drive and part of like being a person who drove was knowing how to change a tire and at least helping him change the oil once or twice.
That's good.
Like, I don't know that my brother or sister did it as much as I did, but like, I'm pretty sure he made us do it at least once or twice. All of us do it with him.
Good.
So
you know what? You know what I just learned from this podcast?
That you're going to teach London how to change the oil.
London's car's oil. I'm going to get her
She's
underneath the
car. She's doing it with you. Yeah.
Of course. Get under here. Yeah. Go put on some crappy clothes because it's going to get on you. You know
what
I mean?
Well, and like, honestly, it's like, this is your vehicle. You need to take care of it. You need to understand what needs to go into that.
Yeah.
And that was always the thing with my dad was like, you needed to be able to take care of it. If something happens, you need to know what's going on.
Do you understand how delicate all of this is?
Yeah.
Like, and the machinery that you're operating is like a big, it's a big deal.
Well,
you know what
and
I mean?
Like also, cause my dad is pretty, well, was pretty handy. And so like we would also, I was several times we'd be under it and I'd be like, well, what's that? And he's like, well, that's the, this thing or the axle or, and it spins around and that's how your wheels move. And I'd be like, oh, well, what's that thing? And he was like, oh, that's the, you know, so like he was able to also teach me other parts
See,
of it.
I'd be like, I don't know either.
Yeah.
Here's what I do know. I know that this bolt goes into your oil tank and that's what you undo and then it comes out.
Yeah. And that's here's where I the know. Filter is.
And that's where the filter is. Yep.
But yeah, so we, that was part of the car knowledge that my dad gave us before we would leave the house.
Yeah.
So.
That's good. I like it.
And my mom made sure we could like cook a little bit and do laundry and you know. So.
Yeah. Hey, as a resource, an additional resource that I did not mention on Sunday, but a couple of books that I've been using and have read through and have kind of informed some of my takes and some of the best use of your time in terms of understanding the death of Jesus and what it might mean. There's a book that came out a few years ago by Fleming Rutledge. She's an Episcopal pastor, and I think she's retired now, but this might have been one of her last books, but The Crucifixion, just, it's called The Crucifixion by Fleming Rutledge, probably, like, deserves to be on every pastor's bookshelf and is really, it's academic, so, like, buckle up a little bit on it, and then N.T. Wright's The Day the Revolution Started, or Began, is the one that I also am really enjoying and have liked, so both of those would be, like, pretty good, strong go-to resources.
Cool.
Moltmann's got another one, but that's even getting more in the weeds. So those would be good, two good entry points. If what I'm talking about is like, okay, Brent, that's good. Because I do feel like there might be some people that would be like, you can't always just say it's really difficult. It's okay to like ignore the complexity and just embrace what you have. There's, to some degree, I would want you to go, yes, but what if I want to embrace the complexity? Okay, great. Well, then here's what I would do. And and to a degree, in an extent, this is what this podcast is for, to be like, you should go check that out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
totally fair. Like, there's a point where you're like, I want to know more. Well, here's some options.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking about was, like, walking in the shoes of, like, that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I've had the opportunity to go to Gettysburg several times in my life. And I can still, like, I was sitting in the theater and I could, like, smell it.
Yeah.
Like the...
Which movie brought that back the most for you?
No. Like on Sunday morning in the like Uptown Theater listening to you talk.
Got it.
I could like smell Gettysburg in my head. Like, because I like just... And it might just be like a combination of all old buildings I've ever been in. But like there's that like dusty, used, I don't know, like old blood, old whatever smell that like old buildings have. And
that if we were an East Coast church, we'd probably have more of a formal understanding of that because within a 2-hour drive, you could go visit everything that happens in your history books.
Yeah.
And here we're like, I don't know. Remember when the Seattle, like Mount St. Helens blew up? That's kind of close by. You know what I mean? That's like the biggest, what else?
There's some like settlement, like the Whitman settlement in Walla Walla.
Sure.
There's some like Oregon Trail stuff around.
Yes.
But that's about it.
Yeah, Lewis and Clark's journey. The problem with that is there's nothing like, you know, they journeyed a lot. This happened to be one of the places they came through. Cool. And they found the Columbia and they're like, wow, this probably leads somewhere important. We should probably follow it, right? But yeah, it doesn't have...
If you go on the coast, like some of the, like Astoria or some of like those places are a little bit older, but not even that old, not like the 1800s, 1700s old.
Yeah.
There is some privileges to having lived half of my life on the East Coast and half of my life on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Because you do get a different like perspective of history and like oldness, which, and then spending time in Europe, it's a whole other world of oldness. That like we don't even have anywhere in America.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. I've had some really awesome opportunities to like understand in a very visceral way history.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I think that when you go and you experience it like that, then and you've walked in those footsteps, you are more open to even like a I want to watch movies about mm-hmm. that. I want to read more books about that. I want to understand yeah. that more.
Because like I've been to the Colosseum.
Yeah.
And it is awesome.
Yeah.
And my brother, who was like 21 or 22 at the time, was freaking out.
Yeah.
Because he was like, he's an engineer. And so he was like, this is amazing. I can't believe they built this.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a Rome obsessed person, but, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, it, and you're right. It's like, there's a tour guide who talks about all the cool things and it, you can see like where the slaves are kept and where they would come out into the thing and yeah. where, you know, and it's not like fully there anymore, obviously, but you can still see all of it and it's really cool. It does. And it gives you a different perspective. It gives you a different understanding to yep. have actually walked along that area and been in that place. That someone else has been.
Yep, for sure. That's good. Anything yeah. else stood out to you?
No, that was about it.
Okay, let's jump into our something interesting. You want to go first?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, go for it.
I found out something recently that I don't know if you knew. Did you know that Walla Walla has an amphitheater?
An outdoor one?
Yeah, Wine Country Amphitheater.
No, I don't think so.
So let me find it. So Walla Walla has a amphitheater, Wine Country Amphitheater, I think it is. And Norah Jones,
who just released a new album, yes, by the way,
is gonna be playing there this summer.
What?
Yes.
We love Norah Jones.
I love Norah Jones. yes, Wine Country Amphitheater.
Dude, is she not like a Walla Walla. Wine vibe? Like,
yes.
When you listen
I
to her.
I just listened to her new album today.
How do you not have a glass of red
and
wine
I was like,
in your hand?
Oh, this is definitely outdoor summertime yes. With some wine yes. vibe for sure. But yeah, Walla Walla has a Wine Country Amphitheater and Norah Jones is going to be playing there this summer. And I found this out recently and am now a little bit obsessed with going.
You should.
So it's going to be July 27th, which is a Saturday. So, yeah.
Nice.
I was like,
that's my wife's
awesome.
Birthday weekend.
Oh, that's true.
I know.
But yeah, I didn't even know Walla Walla had an amphitheater.
I didn't
down
either.
There,
I do.
So.
I do remember Mumford & Sons came through there one year. I don't know if they played there. I thought it was like a camping, like an outdoor camping thing. So I think it might have been a fairgrounds thing. But I do remember them coming through town. And I wish I was more of a Mumford fun. A fan at that time, I would have definitely gone. I missed it. And I kind of kicked myself because they're pretty awesome. And
that's
that
true. So anyway, that's your hot take.
Do you have
everyone.
Any fun other summer concerts planned?
No other concerts planned.
We're going to Noah Kahan at the Gorge again.
Who?
Taking Noah Kahan.
Oh, okay.
Have you
I
heard?
Don't know who that is.
Oh my gosh, Megan. I'm going to change your life. K-A-H-A-N.
Okay.
Noah Kahan. Yeah,
his
new album is called Stick Season. It's fabulous.
But after I listened to Norah Jones' album today, I was listening to James Bay because...
James Bay. We went and saw
yeah,
James Bay.
Yeah.
Our buddy James Bay.
Yeah,
our good friend.
And like, I was like, oh, so good. And then I was so like, I wonder good. If I think it's really better now because I saw him live. Probably.
A little bit.
But
yeah. Walking in the footsteps makes you like want something. Yeah. No, he was great. Does he have any new stuff out?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But...
That's
fine.
That's good. All right. Mine has to do with a show that I came across a couple weeks ago, and I breezed through it. Just blazed
through
it. So
you've watched all of it?
All of it.
That's good.
Netflix series on F1. F1 Racing? You into F1 Racing?
No, I'm not.
Drive to Survive is the name of the show. It's on 6th season. I've heard of it before. I'd never gotten into it. I haven't watched either of the previous 5 seasons, so I'm not.
You've only watched season 6?
I've only watched season 6. I do know that a couple of years ago, they had a really close ending. I believe it was season 4, maybe 3 or 4, and the show kind of picked up some steam because of the drama involved in all of it, and even in the last race. And so it was a really good. I mean, it's an example of a reality sort of documentary style show that has elevated the sport to be big. I mean, it's already big. They were coming to Vegas last year for their first, or it's their third race in the U.S., but their first one in Vegas in 20-something years, or 50 years, or something like that.
It was a little hiccupy.
A little hiccupy, and it's captured in the show. But you do fall in love with like the drivers and like all. It just again, it humanizes all of it to where you do watch a sport and you're like the same guy is winning all the time. The same guy won like 19 races last year out of 22 or 21 or something like that. And so that can be kind of like a why would I even care about watching it? Yeah, but like the drama between getting 10th and 8th is also super important for these guys. And
yeah, because it depends on how much money they get out of it, right?
And sponsorships. And
sponsorships and
they're always trying to move up the ladder in terms of who drives where and for who. who, and and it explains the difference between a practice round, a qualifying round, and the race itself.
Oh, that's cool.
And the goals of each one of those things.
Because I'm a very firm believer that sports are way more interesting when you understand how they work.
100%, which is why I'm semi-dreading tonight, not knowing the rules.
You're going to be Googling as much as you're watching.
I'm going to be like, why? Why? How did
you need to sit next to somebody who knows what's going on.
That's the key. I always tell people that about hockey, too. Because people, I'll be like, hey, you should come to hockey. And they're like, I don't want to watch hockey. I'm like, well, one, it's better in person than it is on TV. And then you also need to sit next to somebody who knows the difference between high sticking and slashing and all that stuff. Because you're gonna be like, that referee's doing some signals. I don't know what he's talking about. Why is that guy on the bench? So anyways, Drive to Survive season 6, it was fabulous. It's only 10 episodes. I think each episode's about an hour. And I've watched, there's been two races in the new season. So like they're filming right now, but then now they have a little bit of a break, but it's very, very entertaining. I don't think I'm so bought in that I'm like buying a ticket to go see it live.
Oh, like F1?
Yeah. But like, if I'm not doing anything on Saturday, I do have it on. It's been good.
I know you've been getting into it recently since the Vegas thing.
Yeah. When they came to Vegas and like we stay in the same hotel every year.
Because you were watching it.
It was
get
right
set
out
up,
on
right?
the strip, right outside our window. I'm like, they're like building lines and redoing the ground right there because of this. That was exciting to be able to watch it on there.
That's often what sparks your interest in something is like you being able to see it firsthand, and then you're like, oh, this is
now
amazing.
This is really cool, guys. let me make sure you know how cool this is. All right, that'll do it for this episode of Say Something Interesting. We announced on Sunday our service times for Easter, March 31st, 8 o'clock, 9:15, 10:30. So two of those should be pretty familiar to you in terms of the two normal service times. We're adding the 8 o'clock option. No kids, arenas or environments open. Arenas, like they're animals.
I mean,
we just battle them like gladiators. No kids' rooms available during the 8 o'clock, but we will have like a little cool, fun kids' packet for them to do. And if you are an East Lake home tuner, would you consider coming to the 8 o'clock to create room and seats at optimal times for the our guests who are going to show up at 9:15, 10:30? So it'll be fun. It'll be exciting. And we are off next week because I'm out of town. We'll be back the following week leading up to that. So we'll see you in a couple weeks, guys.
Bye, everyone.